from the Skinny D Media Archives.
For everyone watching here, this is Skinny Ebert, otherwise known as Mark or Skinny Ebert, whatever you want to call it. I'm here to present Magnus Carlsen, who is one of my favorite animators of all time, who worked on Paranoid Android, the music video for Radiohead, Free Friends of Jerry, Robin Layson, The Mob. How do you do there, Magnus?
Hi, I'm fine. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. We definitely have an interesting set of questions for everyone to ask you for, and we'll start with the elephant in the room, which is Radiohead, Paranoid Android, and the inspiration for that work. How did you get involved with that particular music video?
Well, I think it was almost 25 years ago. Their producer phoned me up and she asked me if I would like to do a music video for the band Radiohead. And at the time, I was not so very familiar with the band, but they sent me the music, and I thought it was like a masterpiece, the song. So of course I said yes.
Well, you definitely done a very good job at that. I mean, it's definitely one of the most outre music videos that I'm aware of. I know there was some controversy regarding, you know, having a man's head on someone's stomach, and I said the man chopping limbs off, they're trying to cover light, and then, you know, he's carrying on like bare-breasted woman. That's all. I thought that was pretty amusing there. Did you have any issues with the censorship, at least for UK or US markets?
Yes, I think when it was on MTV and it has gone for a week or so, they start to censure the video. But there were so many people getting in touch with MTV. So after a week or two again, they canceled the censorship showed the video how it was supposed to be.
Interesting. Take from that perspective, because I know, you know, they were quite lenient on some, but they weren't so lenient on others. Because when I first originally saw it, they had to blow out that scene with the man's head on the stomach and also the aggressive and kind of the limbs, but they showed it uncut. Mm-hmm. But
I thought they censored more the nipples of the mermaids and stuff like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, they did. Maybe that was just for the US market. Mm-hmm. I was lucky to see it without any of the cutting and trimming. Mm-hmm. It was my first introduction to sort of adult animation. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, what I thought was adult animation was Fritz the Cat and South Park. Mm-hmm. Which will lead on to another question in regards to Free Friends and Jerry, one of your most popular works. Mm-hmm. Trying to get
but that did, but did you, just to end up with the Paranoid Android, a couple of weeks ago, did you see in the Rolling Stone magazine they listed the 100 best music videos ever made? Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that very same article. I was very happy to see that particular video get mentioned.
So that was pretty cool.
Work of art. Definitely. So yes, I'm interested to see that. I know they mentioned on a Watch Mojo countdown as well, which was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Can't say that for many other works, but you definitely could say it for this one. I know, and the inspiration for mainly came out of Robin, which was another popular work of yours, which you said If I'm correct, Tom York saw on Channel 4 and got the inspiration to use it because it had that kind of cultural element. If I'm correct.
Yeah, you're correct. He saw it on Channel 4, or actually I think the band was saw it on the pub before it was even shown on Channel 4. Because, well, I don't remember, but they saw it somewhere in the mid-90s, someplace. I started to do a short film with Robin with 5 or 6 or 7 episodes. And that short film was all over Europe in film festivals, and they showed those films everywhere at the time. And after that, we made that Robin series of 26 episodes.
Okay, then we had to start from somewhere. I know on your end, it has that kind of culture element. Was it based upon your childhood or your adolescence, teenage years?
Robin?
Yes.
No, I think it was more based on the type of life I was living myself at the time.
Okay, then. And then in regards to the music element behind it all, because you know, has that connection with Channel 4 and MTV, which is countercultural. What, how do you explain about your choice of music for both Robin and other works like Three Friends and The Mob? Because I know you like a lot of alternative and ska and reggae stuff as well.
But in Robin, it was more the 90s hip hop. And I was doing the music. I was sampling and doing the music myself for Robin, but then we did the series. It was a lot of jazz loops and from Blue Note, and you know, and we couldn't get the right for every loop I have sampled, so we recorded it with jazz musicians in Toronto and sampled it all. They were playing more or less the same loops, and we were sampling it again and rebuilding the music that I did. So it was an interesting journey with doing the music for Robin.
Okay, I know, like you said, from a conversation that we had before this started, they had worked for Nelvana, and they're a major animation company in Canada. I worked on Ned's new Fairy Odd Parents and Bob and Margaret. So to hear their involvement in it, and also getting the Toronto jazz musicians, I think was pretty clever. It definitely is a product of 1990s culture that unfortunately cannot be replicated. Speaking of someone who grew up on a lot of 1990s and early 2000s content, at least growing up as a child and an adolescent. So yeah, it holds a special place in my heart, as does your other work, The Three Friends and Jerry, which is my favorite work out of your collection. I don't know, I shouldn't pick favorites, but that's just at least from my opinion. The inspiration for that, was it based on your childhood, some of the others, or no?
Yeah, The Three Friends and Jerry was based on my childhood. We live in a small town or a small village in Sweden. And between I was 6 to 12 or something like that. So it's that period in the 70s in Sweden.
Wow, very wild. I can tell you that. Was expecting, you know, Swedish kids to be, you know, cool in a sort of way that was, you probably said of American ones as well, but maybe that's just me. I know in a way, influence wise, was influenced by Stephen King's Stand By Me, or the Snoopy, Charlie Brown stuff to some extent?
I never thought about it like that, but of course, Stand By Me was a good film when it came in the beginning of the 80s, but maybe all of it, or all of it and nothing. You know, it's hard to actually, you have to take in so much influences all the time from where you are, so I can't really say. But the biggest influences was from my actual life there when I grew up.
We were just curious about that. But yeah, still pretty interesting. A little bit wilder than I expected it to be. Now, commissioning the program itself, I'm sure it's a bit of a challenge because of some of the content. I believe, is it true about the short film? Like we said before the conversation, how drinking or smoking, and they thought, oh, it's a bit too wild, so tone it down a little bit. Or at least it was too similar to South Park. I don't know. Is it urban legend?
I was doing a short film or a pilot with the Free Fans and Jerry, and it was much edgier when the series turned out. And they were drinking and smoking and using a bad language and stuff like that, because I wanted to do a series for adults, for the same audience as, I don't know, South Park or Family Guy maybe, or something like that. But and when we present the series, we also present it to Comedy Central at the time, and they were looking at it, and then they come back to us and they said, we like it, and how far have you come in the process of developing this series, because we have something similar, and that was South Park. So we were in the same area in those days. But then we there were other companies, I think in US, I think it was Fox Family at the time, who really liked it. Yeah. And so we turned it down to fit an audience for like 10, 9, 10, 11, something there.
Like the 7 to 11 crowd, I'm assuming from like your age classification system, BTL 7, 11, and 15. It's sort of like at the 7 range, but yeah, I'm always curious about that there, because I know some entities, even if they said it was turned down, that has said, oh, this is a bit too out there. It's not innuendo and bad behavior. They didn't like that the children were looking down at the girl's underwear with the magnifying glass, or a few other things in there. I won't go into too much detail. And is it true that in Norway they objected to an episode that involves a Ouija board, where they do like a seance and summon the dead?
Yes, it is. It was a big argument, and I think it ended up that they was not showing that episode in Norway, and they wrote a lot about it in the Norwegian papers at the time, which surprised me. But they were very Christian in Norway in those days, and maybe they still are. So it was from that perspective, they thought it was satanistic or something like that.
That's I've never heard of it taken in that context, because most of the Christmas I heard are mostly from, you know, British and American parents, more so American parents. They're a bit more prudish and conservative, but who am I to say, really? I'm sure in France, where it might be under les trois copains, les trois amis, les trois copains de Jerry et Jerry, which if we're like, oh, it is not a problem.
No.
We have such a thing that we call it Titeuf, Diteuf. I don't know if that's a thing in Saudi. But yeah. In speaking of the animation industry in Sweden, what is it like? I know Denmark gets a bit more love, and there's obviously Britain, Canada, the US, and Japan. There were on May. What is it like for the Swedish market, or even Nordic in general?
You mean right now, or?
Back then, or even currently?
Back then it was almost as it is now again. There were like very small companies and doing children for children shows for the Swedish television, and they got money from the Swedish Film Institute and the Swedish television. And when we came, we were aiming for an international market at the from the beginning, and we the first series was Robin, and then it was the Three Friends and Jerry, and it was a really for the first time industrial series. It was a lot of people working with in Three Friends and Jerry, and it was made in South Korea, and we have the people all over the place working with that one. And so that was something totally new for the Swedish market at the time. But nowadays, I think it's back to how it was. Small companies doing small series for small children. Again,
that's kind of what I thought, because I've never really growing up never really seen a lot of svenska animation on television or even in the cinema, really. Most of the Nordic animation I grew up on was Danish or Dansk, with Perker and Nibe and Hjarbjerker and Fisk, helping the fish tackle in trouble, which was made by someone who I follow on Instagram called Steph Fjellmark. I don't know if you know him personally.
No, it seems familiar, but I can't place him right now.
Yeah, but you know, seeing the Danish cartoons, I thought particularly Terkel. That was quite similar to Three Friends in a way. I thought, oh my, I was taken aback by it, you know, how similar it was. But I think, like Denmark, we said on the earlier conversation, is a bit more wild than Sweden is.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's Denmark's. It's they have much more. They are not so afraid, and they are not so political correct, and when they are doing comedy shows, and in Sweden, we are so afraid that someone can be offended, and so it's very hard to do comedy in Sweden actually nowadays. It was much easier in the 90s and in the early 2000.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I don't think they can make Robin or Three Friends by today's standards.
Oh.
Well, you know, that remains to be seen, because they've done a film that was kind of similar to Three Friends called Good Boys, which is a Canadian-American movie produced by Seth Rogen, and that had, you know, three kids getting up to no good. much of the marketing for that film was it's rated R, which means 17 and up. Otherwise, you go with your parents, kind of like the 15 certificate in Sweden. And mm-hmm. That was marketing behind it. See all these kids swearing, talking about sex. Well, that was pretty funny there. But it's probably not as wild as some of the stuff you get over in Swarm in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that for the audience because I've got a few friends who live in Helsinki and Espoo. So we always talk about their culture and stuff over there.
But they are doing a new series with Beavis and Battered, I think, or is it a feature? No, I think it's a series. Have you heard about that?
They're going to try to bring it back. Yes.
I'm very curious to see what they can make jokes about. If there could be as they were in the 90s, if they could make the same kind of jokes. I don't know.
I don't think it'll probably work from the perspective. I think just keep it as a relic, lock the box and move on there. But I guess Mike Judge needs to pay for his mortgage and for his children's university tuition. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But as far as like comparisons from Three Friends to other works like South Park or Ed, Edd n Eddy, I don't know if you know that one. Does it annoy you when they make comparisons between Three Friends and South Park? Because growing up, I couldn't watch Three Friends after a certain point because they thought it was too similar to South Park. They thought the children were doing things that they shouldn't. My parents, they were pretty relaxed. I could watch Simpsons, but other things, I don't know. What's your take on that? People saying, oh, it's too similar to South Park or Ed, Edd n Eddy. Yeah, probably in Malaysia.
Well, if they think so, it's what can I say? I mean, it's... I was doing The Three Friends and Jerry in the same time. At the same time when South Park did South Park, so it's but South Park was for an older audience. If people would compare it, then go ahead.
Some of my friends make films as well. They make films that often get compared to other movies that came out before, and they always roll their eyes and like, oh, please don't bring that up. So I think that's pretty funny. And as far as your start in getting the animation, did you get started with in the 2D or stop motion sphere? Because I know you've done a little film for the Swedish market that was stop motion about pigs growing up.
No, I was starting in the good old times when in the 80s actually. We were working with cell and film cameras and cutting boards and same as in the Disney early days. So and from that, I mean, I have mostly worked with 2D animation because I like the graphical style and so on. But it was nice to do a puppet feature film for children called Desmond. And that was so much handcraft and it was a fantastic thing to do. We worked with that with four teams for 1 year, and it was it was a really nice experience. I had done earlier before that. I had done some clay animation for Swedish youth programs for TV. And one series is called Alice in Plasmaland, and it was really edgy and really cool, and it was like in early 90s. I did that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So check that one up if you can find Alice in Plasmaland. It's a series.
Only in Plasmaland. I'll definitely check that out because I love the old school animation art forms. They don't make them like they used to. One could argue you have to go back to like the mid or late 90s is when that era sort of stopped. I know they still make the cell and the stop motion even to this day, but there's a lot of digital and CG components which kind of takes away from some of the brilliance. Now everything has to be on CG or flash or digital because it's cheaper or faster, but there's a sort of ornateness with stop motion because I'm a fan of Aardman.
Me too.
My father's friend worked at Cosgrove Hall and worked on a few shows, including Noddy, which is a popular Welsh British cartoon. So, very interesting to see it there. It cannot easily be replicated. And I think that's the ultimate charm of it all. Getting on to the other questions we have in mind. Because you probably need to go to your dinner or need to take care of your children.
What time is it? Okay, let's try to end in 10 minutes, right?
Oh yes, almost be done here just for everyone. For Jolly Patron, are you working on any new projects at the moment?
Yes, I'm working on three or four projects at the same time, developing mainly on myself, writing and drawing and sketches, and so that's what I'm doing at the moment in the animation area. Then I'm more into art projects and paintings and writing novels and stuff like that. So, but that's something completely different.
Okay, then. We wish the best luck to you in your projects. I know the pandemic has thrown a lot of things off. You probably might have even had to work at a job that isn't related to your skill set just to survive. I don't know how that was for you.
No, I survive, but there haven't been much action on the animation side for the last year or so. But
hopefully it kicks back up and
get
the wheels rolling, get the Volvo S60 up in mission electric mode.
Yeah.
Pardon the Volvo joke. I'm a big fan of that brand. That's actually one of my favorite things about Sweden, even though I've never been, but I hope to someday soon.
I used to work in one of my first work in Volvo in the car factory in Gothenburg in 1982, I think it was.
Oh, well, I honestly didn't even know. Now you're a better friend in my heart. Do you drive one yourself?
No.
Or Saab?
No. I drive a Jeep.
Hey, whatever works there, especially in Swedish snow, it can get quite heavy at times, or maybe a little less so because of climate change. Now with the Swedish film and TV industry, what's your favorite stuff at the moment? I know there must be enough to like the sort of Nordic noir stuff like the Millennium series, the Modus. I don't know what your take is on that. You're more focused on like the comedy stuff.
I'm watching some old Danish stuff at the moment, and it's a series called Clown. And it's hysterically
KLOVN.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really, really a masterpiece. So
They done a film a few years ago.
They done, I think three feature films and six TV series. So it was a big thing in Denmark. It's really, really good.
I'll definitely have to check that out there. Because it probably is quite similar to sort of like Terkeli Niebo or Anders Matheson's type of work.
Mm.
So yeah, might be good there. I always pronounce as Kloven.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce that's clear.
Yeah, maybe
it's clown.
I think no, maybe clown. I don't know. I can't speak Danish. It's
You must be speaking English or still Swedish when you go to the other Nordic countries.
I can't understand Danish if they speak slowly, but it's hard if they really speak in a fast way, but. Same with Norwegian. You understand it. We understand each other if we try.
I was just curious about that because.
But Finnish is something. Finnish is something completely different. Nobody understands Finnish.
Yeah, don't even try to just say sauna, tarvantol, ball, and koirat horosuoja. And just get on
by
koirat, dog, el korv, film.
I know only the bad words, but in Finnish.
We can't say for broadcast, but maybe at another time. What would you say is your favorite animated film or TV in recent years? For me, I'm a big fan of Laika stuff. I love Coraline and Paranorman. I also like Sausage Party and some of the later later Pixar stuff like Soul and Toy Story 4 and Incredibles 2. Mm. What about for you?
I'm not so interested in animation, actually. It's my life had just turned out to be in that area. I'm not an animation fan in that way. So to ask your question, it's probably Family Guy or something like that, but that's just for the humor.
Hey, you're not alone though. I like Family Guy too. It's very wild and outrageous, but in a way that's a bit more outrageous than Robin.
That's more for the comedy of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. My favorite shows, I mostly just watch travel shows these days. Mm-hmm. And seeing people go to this place, that place in the world, that keeps me busy. And a soundtracker, which is done by a Finnish fellow named Sami Jaffa.
Mm-hmm.
You probably like a lot of the music he does. It's very sort of metal, rock-oriented. Put him on a remake of The Mob. They ever make The Mob in the future.
You have to. You can send me some examples, so I can check it out.
Oh, definitely. I also send some of my music as well because I also make music on the side under the name MXQ and Headsmoke.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when we'll talk about that after hours. And the last question for everyone out there is. How can they participate with Jolly Patron? If you're looking for animators or crew members?
The best thing is to send something that you they have done. Pilot or a small film or something they have put up on YouTube or something that to see where they are and what they do, and that's the easiest way.
Okay, then it works. Well, I'm sorry to keep you busy, and sorry for any technical difficulties that we might have. There was a few issues with Skype and Zoom, but hopefully for the audience out there, we got what we could.
Yeah.
And if any questions, just let us know in the comments.
All right.
It's been nice to have you, Mr. Magnus Carlsen. Till then, take care and lagom. I don't know Svenska words, but lagom.
Yeah, lagom. That's okay. That's good. All right. Thanks. Thank you. And talk to you again. Bye bye.